Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's my pleasure to bring in a new contributor, a new member of the Bubba team, and the name is Kerry Given from Parkwood Capital, known as Dr. Duke. What's up, Dr. Duke?
Morning, Todd. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. So it's great to have you on. I've heard a lot of great things about you, and I know a little bit about what you do. And but for the listeners, why don't you give us a general bio of who the good doctor is?
Well, I originally started in research and development with a PhD in chemistry. Worked most of my time in corporate America with Amoco here in Chicago. And probably 20, 30 years ago, I got involved in my own personal investing, mostly stock trading. That kind of graduated naturally into options trading. And then by the time I was getting ready to retire from Amoco, I was trading almost full time. And that kind of naturally led to the beginning of the founding of Parkwood Capital, which is my own company. And we basically offer several different trading services as well as coaching to individuals.
And you do, and I know you do coaching, and I know you do a lot of other things. Now, you know, since you first started, and one of the things I always talk about on air is the difference in trading today versus trading, let's say, 25 years ago. I mean, because the markets have changed dramatically. Purely on, first of all, a cost factor of trading. What are some of the things you found that you like better today, or what did you like better back in the day?
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned costs. That's a big factor, because I can remember it wasn't that long ago that I would think about buying a stock, and I would be hesitant to cut it loose or cut it short because of the cost of buying back in and selling and so forth. And now you don't have to worry about that. You basically can get in and out so cheap that those kind of rules, if you will, just don't apply any longer.
Now, you trade, you teach stocks, you teach options, you teach ETFs, you do a lot of, you know, good training. And what is your preference to trade?
Well, if I had to pick one thing, it would be what I call non-directional trading, where I simply put on option positions and allow the time decay to be my friend, if you will. And so you're putting on positions way outside, either way above the major indexes or way below them. And as long as the index kind of wanders sideways or slightly trends up or down, then you make money just on the time decay. So in other words, each day you're not trying to predict where the market's going. Instead, you're reacting to what the market does today.
Now, you call that your fly with the condor or whatever it is something of that nature?
That's right. Flying with a Condor is the trading service where we do exactly that kind of trading.
And when you do that, what indexes are you using to trade those Condors?
Primarily S&P 500 and the Russell 2000.
Okay. And when they do go bad, because occasionally they do go bad, what do you do? What's your process?
Well, if the index is moving against one side or the other, my first line of defense is to buy a long option on that side. For example, if it's moving up toward the call side, then I'll buy a long call out in the next month. And that way, if the market continues to move in that direction, I have a position that's making money at the same time that my main position is losing money. And so that buys me some time. If the market still doesn't turn back, then at some point there, I close those original spreads and allow those long calls or long puts, whichever way it's going, to make money and kind of alleviate some of the losses.
All right. And of course, you know, obviously, you and I both know from being in the option world that, you know, most options do decay out and do expire worthless. I mean, that's, and one of the things I talk about a lot is sometimes how they pin. So if you have a feel, you kind of know where they're going to close. Now, when you do these types of trades, What kind of risk model do you use on those? What's the, like, what kind of account size do you need and things like that?
I would say to trade condors on the broad indexes like S&P, you should have an account of at least $50,000, because you basically, you're chewing up a lot of money with a lot of trading commissions because you have four positions on. And then also you're only making maybe 10 to 15% per month at the best. And so you you need a fair amount of capital to be able to make some reasonable returns, and then also be able to make your hedging when you need to, because you need some cash in reserve just to hedge the positions when you need to.
No, right. And, of course, we know that, you know, those are things that we look at and we go on to, you know, when you're looking at these types of positions. Now, I know you do a lot with teaching and you do classes. Tell us about the classes that you offer and the things that you do.
Well, I do everything from like basic, what I call Finance 101, where I just basically teach people the difference between mutual funds, ETFs, buying stocks, etc. And a lot of the students that take those courses don't end up trading themselves, but instead what they're trying to do is just better understand what their financial advisor is talking about.
And I always recommend that, you know, that people, you know, look, whether you're going to trade or not trade, most people have some sort of investment in the markets. Most people are involved either through work at a 401k or an IRA, or they have somebody who's doing their investing for them. And I have found that the biggest problem with most of these people is they have no idea what their advisors are doing. And I say that it's important for you just to learn for your own knowledge so that you, the investor, have an idea what they're going to do. What do you say to that?
Oh, it's absolutely true. I always tell people the person is most interested in your basic financial welfare is you. It's not somebody else. I mean, typically they have other motivations, and it's, I mean, if you look at, for example, some of my clients will sometimes come to me and say they're considering an annuity, and I'll say, well, you can figure out how much is involved in this annuity that is actually the profit of the person selling it to you. Just look at your contract and see what it'll cost you to get out of this annuity. And it's always several thousand dollars. It's huge. And that's largely that commission that that fellow is making when he sells it to you. So you have to question, if he's making that much money selling this thing to me, does he really have my best interest at heart? He may, but may not.
Yeah, well, and of course, I say typically they do not. Typically, they want the commission. I mean, that is, you know, right. I'm from the school that most advisors could give a crap about their customers. All they care about is that they get the commissions, they get the money invested in the market. And you don't necessarily have to comment. I'll give you the opportunity if you'd like to comment on that. I say it out loud all the time, but if you want to comment, please do. If not, we can move on.
Oh, and unfortunately, you're right. It's been my experience. It's also been my experience. I've been shocked at how little some of these professionals know. It's just shocking. It's shameful.
And not only is it shocking and shameful, but it is a tragedy because, you know, one of the things that I do, and we'll talk a little about that when we come back from the break, but one of the things I do is I run a high school investing program. Right now, I'm in about 199 high schools that I pay for it myself. And I give them all the tools from, you know, credit cards, credit scores, all the way up to advanced trading if the teacher in the class can get that far. But, you know, one of the biggest things in this country is we have a lack of financial literacy and don't really understand. And we are too accepting of people we think know what they're doing are doing for us. But we are with the doctor, Dr. Duke, Carrie Given from Parkwood Capital, and we're going to come back and talk more about markets because Kerry understands it, but we do call him the doctor because very smart guy, and of course he'll take care of us and help us move on as we move into 2017. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. When you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm will get you the download of every show. In the meantime, we are going to step out here for a break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to come back with Dr. Duke right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the good doctor. The doctor is in, and this is Dr. Duke, Kerry Given from Parkwood Capital. And his sayings are empowering your success. But in the meantime, doctor, all right, so you know, financial literacy, I think, is a big weakness in the country. I think that, you know, I always say that when parents have the talk with their kids, it shouldn't be about sex. It should be about finances, because at the end of the day, when you're getting ready to retire, it is all about finances. And most adults don't know what the hell is going on. What do you say?
Oh, that's absolutely right. Your comments about what you're doing in the high schools, I can only commend extremely highly, because basic economics just isn't understood. Doesn't matter whether it's high schools or 60-year-old adults. People just do not understand basic economics.
Now, Doctor, you know, we look at markets today, and of course we've got what they're calling now the Trump rally. And certainly, I mean, he's brought up a lot of good ideas, and he's got a lot of great plans, and we'll see if he can get them all through. And listen, I don't know who you voted for, and I don't really care, but I'm a Trump supporter. Everybody knows it. And, you know, I picked Trump when he was still 1 of 17 with just getting the nomination, because I thought that, you know, this country, what we really need is a businessman to run the country, like a CEO, because the problems we have, businesses would not be allowed to do this. They'd be either in jail or in bankruptcy court. So now we've got this major, unbelievable rally on top of the already, you know, 200% from the bottom. What's your take of the markets in these levels?
Well, it's a little bit dangerous right now. You know, I've been counseling my clients to look at their positions and try and find the things that they think may be a little bit extended, where they have extreme profits and maybe cash in at least a portion of those profits. It's flattening out a bit, but I have more optimism about the future than I've had in years. I feel very good about Trump. I also supported him. My reasoning for supporting him was two points, basically. One was Supreme Court nominees, and the second was his economic plans. And also, you know, the other thing I enjoyed about Trump during the whole campaign, preliminaries, primaries, and so forth, was the fact that he was authentic. He really said what he was thinking, and nobody else seems to tell the truth anymore. They're always giving you some kind of focus group talking points.
Of course, you don't know me that well, but I am the least politically correct, because I don't believe in it. I think that's the biggest bunch of horse, you know, whatever, ever. And, you know, I think we need to tell it like it is. And I do like the fact that that Donald Trump does tell it like it is. And I think he's got the right ideas. Now, whether or not, again, we're going to get all these things through, because one of the problems I have with the government is that, you know, these guys that are in office, they're in too long. They don't have term limits, and their benefits are so great that they don't want to rock the boat. So they don't want to lose votes by changing the overall philosophy. But over the years, you know, because of too much government intervention, I think we've lost a lot of what we call, you know, the price discovery model and the free market look. What do you think about that?
Oh, you're absolutely right. What amuses me sometimes is how, if you go back 60, 70 years and read some of Ayn Rand's writings, she divided people into three groups. One were the people that were producing, the workers, and two were the mooches that were living off the people that were working, and the third group was also living off the people that were working. Those are the bureaucrats. And we have the same problem today. We have more and more people in those two groups and fewer people that are actually working and supporting the other two.
And, of course, as Margaret Thatcher said, when you run out of life fails when you run out of other people's money and you can't do it anymore. And of course, so, you know, I know that, you know, we've seen a dramatic rally, but of course, you know, this is extremely well because of how you started and where you came from, that the markets overall, they do go up 9% year over year. So do you, when you have a portfolio, do you use any sort of protection in that portfolio, or you just liquidate out? What do you do? When you think the market may be topping, you know, we never want to try to, you know, panic out or sell out when we have to. We want to be able to make a conscious decision. What are some of the things that you would do?
Well, I do two things. One is I have trailing stops on all of my stock positions, so that if they get to a certain point and pull back by 5, 6, 7%, then I'm out of those positions. So that's sort of an automatic portfolio management, if you will. But the other thing I do is I buy S&P puts. Because that can serve as kind of your insurance, if you will, on your portfolio as a whole. And I rely more on the trailing stops than I do the puts, but I still buy puts from time to time. Just like right now, I think now is a good time to be looking at having some puts in your portfolio to protect against a possible pullback. It's it's only, I don't think we're, I'm not a doom and gloom type that thinks we're about to go over the cliff, because I don't see anything in the economics that dictates that. But we have run up awfully hard. I mean, the Russell 2000, for example, I think is up like 18-19% since the election.
How about 23?
That's just huge. So it wouldn't be unreasonable to see it pull back 10%. That's just natural.
And how about 43% since the February 11 bottom? I mean, it is really incredible. And, of course, you know, I know you you caught me on Fox on Tuesday, and you had made some reference and sent out a little bit of a note. And what did you think of what I had to say about markets in general?
Oh, I think you're right on. I mean, the one podcast that you had recently where you said that maybe the best trade right now is no trade, that's absolutely correct.
I mean, because, you know, sometimes you have to sometimes just observe markets, because sometimes markets are not ready for you to trade them. And I think this is an area in which many people forget, and they think that they have to be involved and they have to chase down markets, whereas you and I both know, I mean, we both know that, you know, let's say 10 years from now, we're going to be at 30,000, whatever the number is. The number is immaterial, but it's going to be higher, most likely. And as long as you're in good, fundamental, strong companies, okay, that the dynamics haven't changed where they're going to go out of business all of a sudden, then those companies are going to perform. And yes, they're going to have drawbacks, and they're going to fall apart occasionally. But overall, they are going to work their way higher. And I think that that's one of the things that investors sometimes get concerned about. Of course, that's what makes markets, is when people, you know, feel like they have to sell. And I think right now you're seeing, for example, in the gold market, you're seeing a little bit of panic from some of the gold bugs, and they're getting a little bit concerned. And I think that's what's going to actually force the bottom, the end of the bear market in gold. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree. I see gold and those kinds of basic commodity investments as something that I might have a certain percentage of my portfolio, but I basically just set that aside and forget about it. To me, that's sort of my rock bottom if everything else goes to hell in a handbasket. And because I don't try and trade those markets, because that's a difficult business.
Now, how active of a trader are you yourself?
Well, I trade, I probably trade about, I would say I have about 5 to 10 positions on at any given time. And so I'm putting on options and or stock trades probably 4 or 5 times a week. You know, it's not huge, but and it varies a bit. I mean, like right now, I'm probably less active than I would be normally, kind of in a pause mode, if you will. But I'm not a day trader. But on the other hand, I'm trading fairly actively. I watch the market, and I'm in the market every day.
Now, are you watching the market full time?
Yes.
I mean, and will you shut it down and go out and play golf, or do you sit there and really watch the markets while the markets are open?
I'm watching the market every minute the market's open. In fact, I even hesitate to go out and have lunch with a buddy. If I do, I'm watching my phone the whole time.
So you're kind of like a day trader from nature, but don't trade necessarily like a day trader. Would that be a good description of what you're doing?
It would, because one of the advantages that I think us normal, what I'll call retail traders, have is that we have patience on our side. We don't have to take every trade. We can wait. We can wait for the high probability trade.
What Dr. Duke is about, and that's what we try to always teach and stress, is let the probabilities play for you. Okay, that's what we're trying to do. This is what it's all about. The game is a mathematical model of odds and probabilities. And we are with Kerry Given, Dr. Duke, they call him, and of course it's Parkwood Capital. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. When you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm gets you a download of the show every single day. And of course, make sure you go to bubbatrading.com as we get ready for our new hedging and our new futures class, which start hedging on the 4th and futures on the 12th. Everybody, we'll be back after the break with more from Dr. Duke. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're going to step out here, and we will be right back again after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Fly me to the moon. Let me...
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Yeah, that whistle is 10 o'clock.
Don't let it go. Okay.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the good doctor. Gary Given, Parkwood Capital. Dr. Duke, they call him, and he is a doctor. He's a scientist. He's got it all. And so, doctor, we've got, you know, markets we talked about are a little bit, we think, extended. Again, we're not worried, you know, generally, but they are extended. But I know there's so many things in basic terminology that most people don't get, and you teach a lot of that stuff, and I think some of it, you know, comes down to, I mean, you phrase it is, you know, what, like, for example, what is a bond ladder? What are bonds? What about bonds? What, tell us about the bond market and what you see there, because there's been obviously a very dramatic move, which I actually called. I said that the fixed income traders were going to stick it to the Fed and force them to raise because it was just ridiculous already, and of course we are seeing that. But tell us about the bond markets and what you see there.
Well, you're much more of an expert on that than I, but my position is that you ought to have some of your money in bonds just simply because that's sort of your fixed income portion of your portfolio. But you want to have a bond ladder simply for this reason. The biggest risk you have with bonds is interest rates moving one way or the other. And so the principal of your fund may vary quite a bit depending on interest rates. So what you do is you divide up your portfolio into, 5 to 7, most people I think use 7-year segments, where they have a portion of their bonds maturing on any given year, and that means that they get their money back. Basically, you're buying, your bonds are like an IOU, so you get your $1,000 back, in effect, and you can buy a new bond. Well, that way you're putting that portion of your bonds into the market at a particular interest rate. And if the interest rates move against you for the following year, then so if the interest rates move against you, you don't panic because you only have maybe 1/7 or 1/10 of your bond portfolio that has matured. And so you enter that new portion and then with the new bond prices at the new interest rates. And so that way you can basically be patient with your entire portfolio. The problem, of course, is most people nowadays are buying bonds in funds, either ETFs or bond funds, bond mutual funds, and there you get hit with the capital losses or capital gains periodically, and so you can't have the patience. So building your own bond ladder is actually has a lot of advantages.
Now, do you prefer regular, like, treasuries or munis or corporate bonds? Do you have a preference there?
I usually try and pick out what I would call the, you know, maybe not all AAA corporate bonds, but certainly the higher quality ones.
Yeah, and I mean, again, obviously, we, you know, when you're investing for the long term, I think that the biggest thing is quality, is it not? I mean, whether it be a stock or a bond or whatever, it has to be something that you're going to be pretty certain that's still going to be there when you need the money, right?
Exactly. That's so the quality of the business is very, very important because you're going to be in it for more. I mean, if you buy a stock, you're probably thinking, well, if it works out for a year or two, fine. But if you're buying a bond, you may want 5 years, 7 years, something like that.
And, excuse me, so, you know, we obviously, when you're building a longer-term portfolio and try to supplement it with income, you know, using some of your strategies, what are the most important things you look for into trying to build that fund?
Well, in my most conservative, I guess what you'd call my retirement funds, what I do is I sell options. I sell calls against stock, classic covered calls, and then also sell puts against those same type of high-quality stocks. And but I sell those puts always being fully cash secured. So if I put the stock, it's not a big deal. I just turn around and sell calls again. And when you're doing it with very high quality stocks that you don't mind owning, well, then if you just have simple stops in place in case it does some kind of a 5% pullback or something, it's not a big deal. And it's really not very risky, and you can steadily make 15, 18% a year and do it pretty conservatively.
So you're looking for conservative returns. You know, I also hedge portfolios, but I have a mathematical model that actually continues to compound your portfolio as well, using options and creating synthetics around it. Because I personally, I don't like to tie up the money when I'm doing cash secured puts. But, you know, again, your model is very safe, very conservative, and very good for many investors. And I think that isn't that something that an investor has to realize on their own, what type of investor they want to be? Because I know one of the things I talk about on air all the time is, you know, some people trade and invest, and the two are completely different animals. And you can't turn an investment into a trade, nor turn a trade to investment, because, you know, usually it's they're taking the profit too quick or they're not taking the loss. What do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right. That's one of the hardest things that I think people have trouble dealing with. They want to be, what would I call it? They want to be all of one or the other. They want to be either the very conservative investor that takes no risks at all and just has T-bills, and or they want to be a cowboy. And I try and counsel people and say, you know, divide up your capital. Take 60% of it and pretend you're very conservative with that, but have very different, maybe you have 5%, 10% of your capital that you're playing these speculations with. And if you really just don't like speculation at all, well, okay, fine, then that's zero. But try and divide up your capital and take appropriate risks.
Now, do you like, you know, all the new ETFs out there? Are you a fan of the ETF market, or are you a fan more of individual stocks? What's your preference?
I typically use individual stocks. The only ETFs that I play with moderately are SPDRs and QQQs, because I think I generally tell people, if you're into mutual funds, I would strongly recommend that you look at ETFs, because the costs or the expenses are so much lower. And so that makes a lot more sense. But generally speaking, I'd prefer to just pick my individual stocks.
And when you're making a selection for a stock, what are some of the things you'll look for? You know, like me, I'll look for obviously a good dividend payer. But, you know, people can sometimes get living the illusion that because it pays a high dividend, it's better. And, of course, obviously, if they're paying a higher dividend, they'll also have a little bit more risk associated with it. So what are some of the steps you'll go through to go ahead and pick those long-term holds?
Well, one of the things that I use, I don't know if you're a subscriber to IBD, Investors Business Daily, but I like their scans that they do, especially their Big 20, their Big Cap 20 scan, because those are the solid blue chips. And so I rely on that scan quite a bit, and that kind of scan. That scan principally goes on earnings growth rates. In other words, who is growing earnings the most steadily and the highest rate over the last 5 years. And so I see that as very strong. And then other than that, I watch the chart. I look at things like how is it doing if you just look at a typical like 2050 moving average crossover, and where's the MACD and that kind of thing. And I also look a little bit at simplistic candlestick patterns. You hear some people talk about candlesticks, and it's almost like reading tea leaves, but I tend to just look at some of the major things. If you see a series of candlesticks with long lower shadows or lower wicks, whatever you want to call that, then that tells me that we're getting very close if we're not right at a bottom, because it tells me it's a price has been bid down and then it suddenly gets bid right back up. And so that tells me that there's a lot of people that see that as a cheap price and therefore they're willing to buy at that point. So it's clearly a bottom, or at least we're nearing a bottom. So it's those kind of just simple candlestick patterns that I watch.
Now, Dr. Duke, when you start looking, you'll build a list or whatever, and you start looking at a stock, what's the trigger point when you'll find, you know, let's just use Apple. You found the Apple, you want to buy it. Now, what's the trigger point that will say, okay, now it's time for me to go ahead and buy that stock?
With a stock like Apple, I'll be watching, like here recently, I'm trying to remember the exact numbers, so it seems to me it's gotten up to around 116, 115, something like that as a peak, then pulled back And so I was watching it closely as it approached that one more time. And when it makes a close above that previous high, then the next day, if it opens at that close or higher, I'm getting in. So I'm watching that kind of, you might call it breaking resistance, that kind of activity.
No, of course, and that makes a lot of sense. Now, you know, earlier today you mentioned, you know, trailing stops. So do you have trailing stops working on all of your portfolio or just on certain items? What is the your rule for that?
Virtually all of my individual stocks. Now, if I've got a stock that I've already sold calls against or something like that, then I'll have a stop put in that's one of these one triggers the other type of stops where I'm buying back the call and selling the stock. And but other than that, if I'm just holding a stock for the long term, I'll just put in a trailing stop, typically at about 6%, so it just trails along behind.
And so, again, you've got a very great, solid business plan. And we're going to come back and talk to Dr. Duke, the Duke. And he's obviously, you can tell that he's a very conservative, sharp investor that takes advantage of everything that the market allows him. And his name is Kerry Given, and you can find him at Parkwood Capital. But really is very much similar to the Bubba Show, and where we are very concerned about making sure that you're educated and that you have the best understanding to make sure that you have the best opportunity to make money, because there's nobody handing out $100 bills out there, so we got to help you do it the best we can. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. When you miss a show, go to libertytalk.fm, and you can download the podcast every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. As well, make sure you go to bubbatrading.com and check out what we're doing. We've got a couple of new classes going on into the new year, and want to make sure that we get you prepared for 2017 as we wind down in a very quiet ending to this year. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're going to come back with Dr. Duke, Kerry Given from Parkwood Capital after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Kerry Given from Parkwood Capital, and we're actually neighbors, and it's great to have him on the show. So, Dr. Duke, you know, you and I are very much alike. We're very concerned about the individual and want to really help. I mean, we do this more to help and make sure we educate people. And, you know, we get these letters every single day, you know, make 1,000%, make 1,000,000,000%, and, you know, like they were giving away free money. And I often on the show bitch about it. I really find that distasteful, and I really feel bad for the people, because, you know, obviously they're selling a dream that really turns into a nightmare more often than not. And I want to get your thoughts on that.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I'm frustrated almost continually. My first book I titled No Hype Option Trading, because I was so sick of all the marketing hype. Because, as you know, if you try and teach yourself about options, for example, virtually any financial topic, you'll go down all kinds of blind alleys that people put out there saying this is the way it works, and you find out later, no, that's not the way it works. And it's very frustrating. It just drives me crazy. I see these advertisements that say something like, oh, I have a 98% win-loss record, or I've never lost a trade, or something like that, and you're just thinking, wait a minute, that just defies the laws of probability. And it's frustrating.
Well, I mean, again, for you, and guys like you and me, we know that your next drawdown is in front of you, okay? Because it happens all the time. And the key isn't to fall for the scheme or the scam, okay, but to learn how to protect yourself when that happens. And I know that you've written a couple of books as well, and you just mentioned one, No Hype and Options Trading, and also Time is Money, correct?
Right, that's right.
And
it's one of the first things I often do when I'm talking to a new student is I'll point out to them how the probabilities – work just statistically, and how it does fit if you look at the past option activity and also the stock trading activity. You can see how probably 80-85% of the time it fits. And then I'll point out the Black-Scholes equation and say, okay, here's how you can calculate the theoretical price of any option at any point in time. Notice that the probability function is in every term. So what that tells you is that the probabilities are always there. You can't forget them. And I try and emphasize that, because you'll hear people, well, I mean, for example, you've probably heard people say, I'm going to put on this trade and it has an 85% probability of success. And therefore, I don't really need to watch it because it'll just play out just fine. And, of course, that's wrong. If I put on those 85% trades all year, I'll end up in a hole at the end of the year or breaking even at best.
I always tell everybody you'll end up broke. But because, well, you know, look, you know, I've been doing this, and I was a floor trader. And, you know, before all the news circulated around, before everybody had a computer in their pocket, you know, I always tell the story when I first started, you know, we had one computer for 40 guys in a room, right? And it was like the Trading Places when the news came out. There was 40 guys hovered over each other's shoulders trying to see the news. But now it happens so fast. But I always go into the theory that the impossible happens once a month and the improbable happens once a week. And then I'm always prepared for those things because, you know, when you do things, your probability is just a number. But, of course, it's based on something. And, of course, if you do it wrong or you're trying to press up, you end up getting clobbered and you end up out of business, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. You have to always remember that there's a good chance of that 3 standard deviation move. And it's easy enough to say, well, I've got a 95% probability of success, but that 5% will kill you.
No, they never get those 3 standard deviation moves ever. Are you kidding? Come on, Dr. Duke. They don't have those things. Don't happen, do they?
Well, there's a lot of dead bodies out there that say otherwise.
No, I mean, again, and it's interesting because, you know, not many people would admit to that fact that these things happen all the time. It's not. You have to be. Would you say that as a trader, and you're somewhat active, but you're always watching, but wouldn't you have to say that you always have to be on guard for the unexpected because the markets never announce themselves?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's so many examples every year. It's just interesting. Just look at Brexit this year. I mean, that was a big surprise. Or even, for that matter, Trump's election. I had become convinced before the election that the market was just not going to accept. I actually thought he was going to win, but I thought the market's not going to accept this. It's going to trade off. And so I bought puts before the election. Middle of the night there on election day, I am thinking, wow, I'm going to make a lot of money. And, of course, the next day I lost money.
You were counting the money. You know what? I traded on. I actually called every event right this year so far, including the Super Bowl and the World Series. But I actually traded all night through Brexit. I traded actually for 2 days through Brexit. And I traded, you know, through Trump. And I knew I was in trouble because I knew once it peaked down at about midnight our time, that was the end. And it wasn't. And I just couldn't get out fast enough. And of course, it just rocket shipped away. And that's the point. You know, we see things. And one of the things that I find the most troubling, and I want to get your views on this, is, you know, when people try to trade the news. Now, I'm from the school that when I finally get the news, I'm about the 1 millionth person who finally got that news, and there's no way you can trade off of it. What are your thoughts to stuff like that?
Oh, I absolutely agree, especially nowadays. It seems to me that the markets are moving much, much faster than ever, and these computer programs are watching for that one word or some key phrase or whatever, and so I'm always going to be late to the game.
So you're more of a reactive trader using the charts that you use and looking for the proper footprint that will allow you to enter the market. Would that be a fair statement?
That's right. That's right. I certainly observe fundamentals, especially with individual stocks. But when I'm trading index options, for example, there I'm really doing it primarily on what has the market given me right now. Do I need to hedge my position or close it? Or do I need to enter it or whatever? I just trade on based on what I'm seeing. And I may have an idea of where it's going. I mean, we've seen the volatility trends this week that certainly suggested the market was going to trade off. But generally speaking, I'm not trying to predict very much because I just find my predictions are not that good.
Well, I tell everybody I'd like to have back all the money from all the predictions I made. I mean, I made some great ones, but the opportunity cost, when it costs me for all the good ones I made because I try to keep making them again, that you're much better off if you learn how to react to the market as you're building a list of stocks you want to own. I think you'd agree with that, but go ahead and tell me if you would or not.
Oh, you're absolutely right. In fact, I've been thinking about this week because I'm building that list as we speak and thinking about that, but I'm not ready to pull the trigger until I see after the new year how this market's going to shake out, because I'm a little concerned that maybe we've gotten ahead of ourselves.
I definitely think we got ahead of ourselves, but I thought we were ahead of ourselves 1,000 points ago. So, but I guess the last question or one of the key questions I do want to ask you is when you look at the market, you know, everybody, I've been doing this for 36 years. I started as a floor trader, and everybody always says there's money on the sidelines. And I go, there's always money on the sidelines. I don't care what's going on. It's just like there's soybeans. China's buying soybeans. I mean, China's been buying soybeans since 1980. I mean, does that weigh on you at all? Does that give you any thoughts like I should be doing something? Or is it something just as I think it is, just a bunch of crap that they float out there just to try to push the markets one way or the other?
Yeah, I don't pay much attention to that because just like recently with this huge market run-up, it seems to me that what we've had principally is not money coming in from the sidelines as much as we've had a rotation out of things like Google and Facebook and so forth into things like Goldman Sachs. I mean, it's been a rotation of sectors, not new capital coming in.
And that's what that's why I like you. I knew I liked you, Dr. Duke. Dr. Duke, give us the information. If anybody wants to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of you?
They can go to my website, parkwoodcapitalllc.com, or they can give me a call. Give me a call at 630-291-1230.
Dr. Duke, thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate it. It's great to meet you and great to have you on, and I look forward to having you on again.
I enjoyed it, Todd. Thank you very much.
This has been Dr. Duke, or as his real name is, Kerry Given, and he is Parkwood Capital LLC. Make sure you check him out. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. When you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm. We're trying to get to 300,000 downloads a month. I need your help. I'm at about 290. So get there and punch those keys in. Also, you can get the Sporting Edge on the weekends. In the meantime, everybody have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we will see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.